With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wealthy Sisters Radio, the show that promotes positive people. Tune in live Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time or listen live 24/7 at www.wealthysistersradio.com. We know you'll be inspired, empowered, and informed by the incredible women featured. And now our host, entrepreneur, author, speaker, Deborah Hardnett.
Well, hello and welcome to Wealthy Sisters Radio, sponsored by Wealthy Sisters Media Group. You can visit us at www.wealthysistersmedia.com. That's S-I-S-T-A-S media.com. Visit us there for all your branding and publishing needs. We are here to help you. You know, Wealthy Sisters Radio Show is that show that proudly promotes positive people, and particularly highly successful business women. And you know, our purpose is twofold. First, we love to provide inspiration and encouragement to you, our dynamic listener, and we want to make sure that you get that practical knowledge that you can apply right now to positively impact your business and life. And second, we have to edify, promote, and acknowledge and say thank you to the sisters for doing big things. I'm Deborah Hardnett, your host, broadcasting live on the Worldwide Blog Talk Network, and today is another fabulous Monday. That's right, it's almost the end of January 28, 2013, and you know, we are so grateful and excited to have you join us today. We're here every week at the same time. That's Mondays at 12 noon Eastern, so thank you for spreading the word. Wow, I tell you, as I said, this is another exciting year as we enter into our fourth season. Can you believe that? The time is going by so fast. You know, we must pause and say thank you, thank you, thank you. We are so grateful for you and for sharing our space here these past 4 years. You know, there's been so many great shows, and we promise to continue to provide that to you. So guess what? The best is truly yet to come, starting with today's show. That's right. You know it's going to be another great one. Our very special guest today is a woman that I'm proud to call my friend. She is none other than the CEO of MuncherDoodle.com. Now, she is a born entrepreneur, a person who has never, that's right, she's never worked for anyone else. So she knows what she's talking about being a business owner. So if you know what I know, go and get your paper, your notepads, your iPads, because Nichelle Tidmore Fleming is live here with us today. You know, we want to remind you also to follow us on Facebook and Twitter under Wealthy Sisters. And also, you can get this show and check out all of our other great shows. You can download it right now on iTunes for free. That's right. We are there for you. So when we take this short break, we're going to come back and present to you none other than the dynamic, super powerful CEO herself, Nichelle Tidmore Fleming. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. And thank you. Did I say thank you for joining us? I want to say thank you again.
Three women are murdered every day. Around the world, at least one in three women has been or will be abused in her lifetime. It's time to change these statistics. Join Saving Promise, a national grassroots movement that's bringing about real change. Visit www.savingpromise.org to join our One Voice campaign and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Text My Promise to 20222 to make a $5 donation. We need your voice. Together we can live, thrive, and be free of domestic violence.
Do you find yourself overwhelmed in paperwork? Are you struggling with administrative tasks preventing you from doing what you really love? Then consider hiring a virtual assistant. Call M. Alexander & Associates Incorporated, toll free at 1-877-894-0500. 1-800-284-8864 or join them on the web at www.iwillassistyou.net.
Hello, we're live and we're back here on Wealthy Sisters. Thank you again for joining us on another fabulous show. I want to remind everybody you can find us on Facebook, yes, and Twitter under Wealthy Sisters. That's S-I-S-T-A-S. And also, if you're on the Blog Talk Network, go ahead and click follow right there. You see it right there on the network. That way you'll get a reminder every week about our show starting live at 12 noon on Eastern. Well, as I promised, I am so excited about today's guest. I want to say hello and a welcome to Wealthy Sisters. Are you there, Miss Nichelle?
Yes, I am. Hello, Deborah.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I truly appreciate this great opportunity.
Yes, yes. Well, I tell you, you know, our audience is always thrilled to have someone like you. It's an honor. You know, as I mentioned, I mean, I always remember when I first met you, when we talked about you've always been an entrepreneur from, you know, your background, and we're going to get into that today. So there are so many people today that have started businesses and want to start a business, and to hear someone like yourself who's never, you know, had a job, not saying anything is wrong with working for someone, because we value that as well, and we, you know, we talk about that here on our show. But the fact that you've been an entrepreneur all of your life, that's incredible. That's amazing. So we're nosy over here. You know that, right?
Of course I do.
And we love to find out, you know, your background. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you, you know, grew up and, you know, what made you become an entrepreneur?
Well, Deborah, I'll tell you this much, okay? The family that I grew up in, I'm actually from Cleveland, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and I had two fantastic parents who basically gave me so many different opportunities to try to discover who I wanted to be, what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But really, to be very honest with you, I went to college, and when I went to college, I never thought about when I get out of college, I'd like to go and get a big corporate job. Not saying,
mm-hmm.
once again, that it's something wrong with a corporate job.
Right.
But that was just really, that really wasn't in my DNA, because I've always seen my dad own different businesses, and you know, through my childhood, I grew up where my dad basically owned a Burger King and a McDonald's franchise, and so I just thought that's really how you're supposed to do it. So
right.
I really didn't understand corporate that well, but one thing I knew is that I wanted to be like my dad. I wanted
mm-hmm.
to be able to own my own business. I wanted my financial freedom. I wanted independence. I wanted to call my own shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I admired my mom and dad so much in terms of what they taught me and how they taught me how to basically be a good person and
mm-hmm.
work hard and come up with a great strategy. So
mm-hmm.
I started as a little girl, and this is really something that I never thought in my life would have something to do with my situation now. But my very, very first job was actually in network marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went to work for my uncle when
mm-hmm.
I was 7 years old, and I sold cosmetic products. So I walked up and down the street selling lipstick and nail polish. And so I said, wow, this is just a great opportunity here. You mean to tell me I could make 50 cents off of a bottle of nail polish? So I got my pad out. I really didn't understand what I was doing. I just knew I wanted to sell something. I wanted
uh-huh.
to just spread the word about this nail polish and, you know, lipstick. So I did very well doing that. Well, that was very short-lived, okay?
Uh-huh.
My next job was actually, I was one of the little girls who was in the McDonald's commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my dad bought his first McDonald's franchise when I was a little girl.
Uh-huh.
And so McDonald's asked me, did I want to do a commercial? And I said, sure. Well, of course, I thought I was going to talk and sing. But no, all they had me do was just color on the floor in a little coloring book. So I was very excited about that. And then I eventually graduated where I actually made McDonald rings for the Big Macs.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody remember that? You had a Big Mac ring that went around the big sandwich. And that was my primary job. So I did that for a very long time. So I kind of got exposed to an early age of how to become an entrepreneur, how franchises work, all the do's and don'ts. And then I actually went through elementary school, junior high school. And then in junior high school, my dad actually purchased a Burger King. And that's when I really found out what hard work was.
Okay.
I became a manager at his stores, and I did all the things that I thought I was supposed to do, and I was very successful. You know, I learned how to listen to people, how to train people, and so what they basically instilled in me was you gotta put in the hard work in order to be successful.
Right.
And that's one of the things that my mom and dad taught me how to do at a very early age. So
right.
from that point forward, I just knew that I would own something fantastic one day, just like my mom and dad.
And it's I'm so glad that you took the time to share that, because a lot of us are maybe first generation or entrepreneurs, and we are raising our children in this world of entrepreneurship, and so, you know, a lot of times we might not want to expose our children. Some people may not have their children in that environment, but it's really a good thing because it gives them opportunities to see the world in a different light, just like you did, because
exactly.
you obviously were taking in everything that you were seeing at that
basically
time.
Basically a little sponge.
And it is so true. It is so true. I noticed that, you know, on a personal level with my daughter as well. You know, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but she asked the other day, you know, can she's always thinking about how to make money, and she's just nine, and I see that in her. She asked the other day about, if I took a $100 bill and made a copy of it, is that illegal? I was like, yes. But I was like, okay, but at least she's thinking. She's trying to figure this thing out here. So.
Exactly.
But that's good. That's good. So you went to college, and you saw that, okay, this is what I want to do. You didn't really do the resume thing. Do you even know how to put a resume together?
No. As a matter of fact, when I went to school and people asked me, what did I want to go to school for, I actually checked in with my dad and mom and said, what should I study? You know, and I thought, okay, business. I'm going to be a business person.
Right.
I didn't want to just be a little business person. I wanted to be a big business person.
I wanted to
run different operations. I wanted to be able to give other people a great opportunity. And it wasn't because, you know, I thought that I was superior or anything. It's just that I just really had in my DNA to be a financially independent person, run my own show, be able to travel when I want to travel, be able to spend time with my children one day if I decided to have children, which I didn't. But I guess I just thought that, you know, this is a fantastic life. I mean, I looked at what my mom and dad were able to do for us, and it was just such a blessing to sit under them and to learn the different principles of business rather than going and sitting in a classroom and listening to a teacher tell you, you know, this is how you do things. So when you have that life experience, it really helps you to develop to be a great person and to understand business once you get a little older.
And so when you were in college and you decided to, you know, make the transition into your own business, what was your first business that you actually started on your own?
Well, my very first business was actually a fundraising company. I was in the right place at the right time. It was the right opportunity. It was a guy by the name of Clarence Archibald who owned several Baskin-Robbins franchises in Cleveland, Ohio, and he had a fundraising candy business. And what he basically did was, you know how the kids run around with the little brochures, take orders and get prizes, and you raise money for the schools?
Right.
That's what I did. So I was very excited. I went to the bank to get a loan. which I didn't really fully understand until, you know, my mom and dad sat me down to say, you know, we're going to borrow X amount of dollars to purchase this business. This is your business. You have to learn how to pay money back. But this is what we are going to help you with financially. So they gave me something, but they didn't hand everything to me on the platter and say, okay, go. I basically trained under this guy, Clarence Archibald, and that was my first business. So I was like maybe 20-something. So I was actually going into schools and talking to a lot of principals who were a lot older than me. So I have to go in and battle and negotiate for different contracts and raise money for elementary schools. And that's when I really, really got an eye-opener to how things really work because, A, I had a lot of financial responsibility on me to be able to pay the loans back and to be able to continue the business the way Mr. Archibald did. So what I did was I implemented new strategies to make the business better. Developed relationships with educators and principals. And then in the meantime, when I did all of that and raised the school a lot of great, great money, I then got an opportunity to spend a lot of time with a lot of unfortunate children in the inner city in Cleveland. And so that was really a great learning process for me because I was able to go in and tutor children after school, buy certain meals for children who, you know, did not have money, you know, unfortunate children. So I was able to pour back into the school financially and able to make a substantial income at a young age.
And it's good that you're saying that, too, as well, because, I mean, today there is there's a lot of talk about, you know, we just had the major election and we just had, you know, of course, inauguration and all of that. And we're dealing, we hear a lot of things that's going on in our nation's capital between, you know, the parties there. And there's a lot of talk about social responsibility. How, obviously, this is something that you participated in. How important, you know, is that to a business owner? Why should a business owner be thinking about social responsibility or giving back? I mean, what is the plus to that?
The plus is that you have to always remember that everybody needs a helping hand. You didn't get to where you were, but where you are right now, you know, other than someone has to help you along the way. And a lot of times in our community, we make a lot of money and we don't understand how you have to reach back and help someone that's, you know, unfortunate. You know, a lot of times people are born into situations, and if they just had a mentor, then they would be able to excel and do fabulous things for their life, too. And then you have to think about that this is a generational type of situation.
Right.
Okay. This it doesn't just stop with me. You
right.
know, it moves on to a cousin.
Right.
You know, it goes on and on and on. So you're helping several generations. And
right.
it's important because you always want to feel like you're giving back to a wonderful situation where it gives someone a great opportunity to be a very, very good human being. That's
right.
what you want out here. You want little soldiers, and you want to teach them early, and you want to train them early so that they can become productive and great human beings as an adult.
Right,
and that's
right.
what people don't understand. It's not a greed factor. It's not just about the money. It's about helping other people. That's all this whole thing is about. It's not about money. You do what you love, but in the meantime, you help people. And that's what a lot of business owners don't understand.
Right, right, because
you know,
it's a greater reward in helping, you know, when you can help. And it's you can't, everything is spiritual. Would you agree, you know? That
exactly.
You know, I know that's why, you know, you've been so blessed in your business is because, you know, you have practiced such philanthropic efforts. and things like that that you do. So that's good. That's really good to have that. So you had your fundraising business, and you built that and was very successful with that. And something called timing. I know you mentioned that earlier. Things change. We talk about Jim Rome all the time. He uses, God rest his soul, he used to use the analogy of the seasons. You know, there's a spring, there's a summer, fall, and winter. And in business, I know you've experienced all of those seasons. So what type of transition did you make from your fundraising business into the next level?
Well, the next level was actually I had my fundraising company, and then my dad and I decided to purchase a grocery store.
Okay.
And it was a grocery store in a senior area in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
So I actually was running my fundraising business, and then we owned a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just on a whole different level. But it was a great experience because it really taught me a lot more about business and how things really work, you know, on the international, on the larger scale of things in the United States in terms of the food industry. So I was able to get a lot of training in terms of the food industry. And from that point, after the supermarket, I've had so many different business ventures, but the next thing was that I was very much interested in selling accessories to men. So I created a business called Why Not Me, and I sold accessories for men in a retail establishment, and that went well. And then there was a season for that to actually, you know, terminate that. And then after that, I actually moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where I opened up a candy and yogurt store. So I've always had a love for the food business. And once I got exposed to it through the supermarket, then I kind of realized, okay, I like this industry. I like what it represents. And after that, the food industry carried on to the Treat Factory, which was a yogurt and candy store in Alpharetta, Georgia. And that was really the love of my life, because when I was growing up, I always watched the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That was just the all-time movie. And I always wanted to be around, like, a lot of candy, a lot of bubble gum, a lot of sweets. You know, everyone knows that I'm the biggest sweet person ever.
Right.
So I wanted to just give kids the kind of happiness that I had growing up.
Right.
My grandmother and my uncle, they used to take me to a store called the Candy Stripe store. And I was able to go and choose any kind of candy I wanted to. I might have only had 50 cents, but I was smart enough to go around in the neighborhood and tell people, listen, I'll ride my bike to a store. If you give me 50 cents to go to the store, I'll pick up some pickles and candy for you. And then with that money, I made extra money, so I was able to go and buy my sweets. So I've always had this type of mentality where I want to be in the element of sugar, candy, fun. I want kids to have a great time. And that's how the Treat Factory got started. When kids walked into my store, they actually just felt like they were in heaven the way that I did when I was a child. So they would go to big candy bins and pick out big jawbreakers, and neon lights were in the store, and pastries and all kind of goodies. And to me, that was just the ultimate satisfaction to bring joy to these kids. And honestly, that is the best feeling for a kid, to walk into a candy store and smell the sugar. It's just the most fantastic thing on earth. And I truly enjoyed that, just to see their eyes light up.
Right.
So that's how the Treat Factory got developed.
Okay. And so the transition came, and from there, and I'm talking about transition because today, you know, we know that a lot of people have made transitions in their lives, have had to make adjustments. What would you say are some indicators for a person to know, okay, maybe I need to adjust some things, not have to give up on their dream, but maybe there are some adjustments that I need to make? What are some key indicators to suggest to our audience?
Well, I think you just have to look at, you have to read, first of all, and figure out what's really going on in the world in terms of a demand for your product.
Okay, okay.
And that's kind of crucial. I think when you read and when you stay informed and when you know your craft and, and you can kind of see the direction it's going into, I think that's the best indicator. But I think if you don't read, then you have no idea of what's really going on in your industry. And that kind of helps to say, okay, within the next 5 years, this product is going to be a great product.
Right,
you know, you have to kind of forecast things out. Read, join certain organizations who represent the same thing that you do, and then surround yourself with other business people who can help you to make informed decisions. And it's just like one thing that my dad always told me is that when you own a business, you need your own board of directors. And your board of directors are people that you trust, people who have a like mind, and business people. And you always want to be around someone who is smarter than you.
Right. That's right.
So that
That's
they can
right.
teach you and educate you. So once you surround yourself with a board of directors, that board of directors can sit down with you to say, hey, this is what I see for your business in the next 5 to 10 years.
Right.
These are the changes you must make to stay relevant.
Right, right.
And a lot
right.
of people miss that because they want to talk to their aunts, their uncles, their cousins who have no information about their business.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah, especially yeah, a lot of times they get excited about maybe a family member who's been successful in their skill set or in a corporate setting. But like you said, if they haven't had the business experience or know-how experience, not the degree, but the experience, you know, not the degree alone, shall I say, that's important. That's important. So that's good. You're saying, you know, make sure they become a part of some type of trade association. But that sounds like spending money.
Form your own board of directors.
Yeah.
Find people that you think are successful and talk to them and let them help to advise you. It needs to be people that you trust.
Right, right, right.
And they can help you because sometimes you can get stuck on this is really what I want and this is really what I want now, but it may not be the right time.
Right, right, because you need that objective opinion.
Exactly.
You need someone that's not emotionally attached because you are going to be emotionally attached.
Right, because it's your baby.
Right. But you do have to make sure that, you know, you have that objective. Not saying, of course, not saying that, you know, your dream is not going to come to pass. It's just sometimes we have to navigate and find another vehicle, another way, or just a simple shift in something that we're doing to make
sure. And no one is going to start a business where they're going to go by the same blueprints when they started the business.
Well, say that again, because oftentimes I know I deal with a lot of clients who they've started a business and maybe they've never owned a business before, and they are, you know, they've spent a lot of time in planning, getting that business plan together. They had this idea and they had this plan, and the plan just didn't work. It just didn't work. And speak to that point about that flexibility that you need to have.
Well, what you need to do is when you start a business, you come up with your blueprint to figure out how you're going to navigate your business the next 5 or 10 or 15 years.
So it's not, and I like the way you said that, a blueprint to navigate, not something that's going to be a fixed plan because things change.
Exactly. And you have to remember that you always have to evaluate your business every 6 months to figure out if you need to turn and go into a different direction. That's where your board of directors come in, where they can help you to do that, because sometimes you can't see certain things. And it's going to be a lot of twists and turns that you're not going to like, and you're going to be very uncomfortable because this has never happened to you before. You're going to shed many tears.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've all done that. And we're going to say, why? Why did this happen to me? Well, why wouldn't it happen to you? You're starting a business. This is all part of business. You know, it's a lot of disappointment and it's a lot of great times. But you have to think and you have to take a systematic approach to just navigating through your years to try to make the best out of your business. You can't do it by yourself. So you get
and
in trouble when you try to do things by yourself.
Right.
And that's
right.
why I keep saying board of directors.
Right.
So if you don't get anything else out of this today, your listeners, everyone should have a board of directors for your business. And then that will guarantee that you will be a lot more successful. And that's truly how it works.
And again, make sure, like you said, those the people that are the board of directors, you put those qualifiers out there.
That's right.
They're you know, they're not just people who love you like family or what have you, but
right.
they're people
you want
who,
people who are going to tell you the truth.
Right.
People who are smarter than you.
Right.
People
right.
who have business experience. And people who stay well informed, who read. Who understand business.
What was, let's say, you know, out of the years that you've been, I know 30 plus years that you've been a business owner, what is one of the most challenging times you say that you faced, and what did you do to overcome that?
Well, let's see. I've had a lot of challenging times, but the most challenging time was probably when I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and, you know, sometimes as a business owner, one thing my dad always told me is better to be a small fish, you know, in a big
in
pond.
In a big pond.
Right. And when I moved to Atlanta, I really saw what he was talking about.
Okay.
See, it's not so much the city, it's what you do in the city and your connections and who can help you to navigate the best. And when I arrived here, I started facing a lot of challenges. I was single, although I had certain people around me to help to navigate me. It just became very challenging because in Atlanta, Georgia, or any other big city, they basically have everything.
Right.
I mean, sky's the limit. Somebody's doing it this way. Somebody's doing it that way, this and that, you know. It goes on and on. So you have to figure out how to carve your niche in to be successful. And when I moved here, that's when I got a real wake-up call that, hey, you know, I can't try to call in a favor here to do this and do that, or I can't get to this person because I don't have a relationship with that person. You know, it goes on and on. So relationships are very important, and I learned that when I came to Atlanta, Georgia. As a matter of fact, I started to appreciate more the relationship that I had
because,
in Cleveland, Ohio.
Because that's where you grew up. You had seen your family. You
and
built.
We take it for granted. Yeah.
Right. So that's something that, you know, it's a whole nother topic you kind of hit on, the importance of relationships in business. I know a lot of times when we're sharing, people think about networking functions and gatherings, and a lot of times I share with my clients that, you know, they say, well, I didn't meet anybody there or I didn't make a sale, but it's not really, those environments are not about making a transaction that day. It's about meeting someone that you can potentially build a good rapport with, build a good relationship, because you never know.
Exactly.
That's
down just
the
like
road.
When I grew up in Cleveland, I'll give you an example really quickly, but I didn't really understand why my dad made us go to so many cocktail parties.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad were always going to cocktail parties, but they were business cocktail parties.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad said, one day you're going to understand why I'm making you do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sister and I, we would basically be like, well, we don't want to go to another cocktail party.
It's like it's boring.
Yeah, what are we going for? Oh, we saw them last week. You know,
right.
We didn't quite get it.
Right.
We didn't understand building relationships.
Right.
And these are the things that you have to do in order to become successful, relationships. Mm-hmm. That's the whole enchilada right there. You know, it's not about just making the sale, seeing what you can get. It's not about that at all.
It's because, you know, if you're coming from that point of you're serving someone and you're providing the service,
right.
You know, what can you help someone with?
Exactly. That's all it's about.
Right. Because you're
meaning what you say.
Right. Right.
Because a lot of people say things that they really don't mean.
Right.
But you
right.
have to mean and do what you say you're going to do in business. And that's
right.
where a lot of people fall short. If
right.
you say you're
right.
going to do something, you need to do it. Your word and your reputation are the most important things in life that you will ever have.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You are so right. You are so right. If it takes you 20 years, get it done. Do it.
That's right.
Do it. Yes, indeed. Have that commitment. I think about an episode I saw of Sanford and Son. And Fred told him, he said, it might not be this week, might not be next week, but one day, I promise you this, you're going to see somebody coming down the alley and I'm going to hit you in the head. Not quite relate, but he made that commitment. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. So
that's right. That's right.
That's good. So great. Well, if you've just joined us, we are live here on Wealthy Sisters Radio with none other than Nichelle Tidmore Fleming. She is the CEO of MuncherDoodle.com. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and learn about this dynamic new business she's got. You know, two manufacturing facilities already, one in the north and one in the south. So we know she knows what she's doing. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. Again, thank you for tuning in to Wealthy Sisters Radio.
Having more money won't solve your problems, but being a trusted client of Visionary Financial Strategies will. Your help begins on the web by contacting vfstrategies.com. That's vfstrategies.com or 410-929-4837. Again, 410-929-4837. At Visionary Financial Strategies, every financial move must have a purpose. Visionary Financial Strategy.
Well, yes, we are live here on Wealthy Sisters. Want to thank you guys for joining us and remind you that we are available on iTunes. You can download us there on the Wealthy Sisters. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter on Wealthy Sisters. And, you know, for all of your branding and publishing needs, we are available for you at WealthySisters.com, SISTAS.com. And we're excited you're tuned in and listening here live on Wealthy Sisters. Our special guest today is Nichelle Tidmore Fleming. And this background music that you're hearing is it's a young man by the name of Troy Horn. We're going to be unveiling his music next week on our show, Dynamic Individual. You got to check him out. Great, great music. So But yes, our two special guests today, again, is Nichelle Tidmore Fleming, and we're going to come back to her here in a moment. But there's a lot of exciting things that's happening here at Wealthy Sisters, as we promised. We've got a new producer we want to welcome to the show as well, and he's going to be here assisting all of our guests and just all of our sponsors as well. I just want to bring and just take a quick second and say hello to Simba. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, Simba, well, I tell you, it's such a thrill. You, as we're talking about business, this gentleman, I'm real humbled to have him working with us, because he has been a business owner for a number of years, and he knows what we're talking about on that retail end. I know you're probably shaking your head over there laughing about some of the stories you can relate to as well. But we're so thrilled and grateful to have you join our team here at Wealthy Sisters, and we just want to welcome you. And if you want to say a quick word or two to our audience and let everybody know, you know, a little bit about yourself, you could go ahead and take that time now, Simba.
Well, I just want to say hello to Ms. Flemings and congratulations on, being an entrepreneur for such a long time. I know from experience it's can be a very difficult and challenging adventure to embark upon. I want to say hello to everyone. And I'm a native Washingtonian. I enjoy books. I enjoy talking to people. And I'm just happy to be a part of the team of Wealthy Sisters.
Awesome, awesome. Well, he's very humble, you guys. So I won't put him out on Front Street today, but we're going to let him share his story as time unveils. And like I said, he's definitely someone that we're thrilled to have working with us. So if you are interested in becoming a guest on the show, you can email Simba at producer@wealthysistersradio.com. That's wealthysistersradio.com. And if you have any questions about the show, definitely hit them up and producer@wealthysistersradio.com. So thank you again, Simba. We're so excited about having you on board with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. Ms. Fleming, we've been talking here. This has just been a great show. We've talked about a lot of key things about business, timing. I know you mentioned that right at the beginning of the interview, and we've talked about building relationships and knowing how to recognize when it's a time to shift and do something else or change in your business. And you have mastered that. And this new business that you have, first of all, when I look at the pictures, and I got to let everybody know, I have sampled the, boy, I tell you, when she says she loves sweets, she's doing obviously what she loves. I mean, some of the best desserts that you can ever imagine. Tell us about munchadoodle.com.
Well, munchadoodle.com, I've actually been in business probably now for around 3 years. Mm-hmm. And how it actually started was my mom. She's always been a great baker. She's a great inventor of different recipes. And years ago, when we lived in Cleveland, Ohio, I mentioned to you that my mom and dad were both in business, but my mom is an interior designer by trade, and she also is a baker. And so what she used to do was she used to make different cakes, specialty cakes, that actually don't have any preservatives in the product, more of an all-natural type of cake. And she would do that for different people's baby showers, wedding showers, bridal, you know, any type of shower or party.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone in our family and our close friends, they know that my mom creates the most fantastic cakes, pound cakes that you would ever want to taste in life. Now, munchadoodle.com, we not only do pound cakes, but we do brownies, gourmet cookies. So these are all of my mom's recipes and my grandmother's recipes.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, who we call Grammy, she created the recipes, and my mom picked it up, and then my mom taught me, and now it's me and my mom actually creating these recipes.
And if they go to your site, munchadoodle.com, they will see, as it says, perfection in each bite. I love that slogan there.
Thank you.
And the food, just the treats just jump off the screen. Some really good pictures here. I see you've got a red velvet
chocolate
lemon
chip, which is our flagship product.
Okay, okay.
We have zesty lemon, crazy wazy chocolate chip. All these little funky names. And what's great about our business is that most people now get very guilty when they have different desserts. So we decided to go into the miniature business.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so
to help us with our guilt complex.
We have these miniature pound cakes so that you won't feel guilty.
Right, right.
But
right,
I'm going to warn everybody out there that when you try a Munchadoodle mini pound cake, this product is so fabulous because it doesn't taste like a grocery store product at all.
Right.
It's moist. It's delicious. And it's just a one-of-a-kind pound cake. What people ask me most of the time, is the pound cake dry? The answer is no.
No way.
No way, Jose. We do plenty of food shows. We do a lot of different events. We do weddings here in Atlanta and in Cleveland, Ohio.
And
we have a lot of great reviews. Now, what we are actually is an online business.
Mm-hmm,
so we ship out all over the country. And basically we ship to corporate people. We ship to people who just love pound cakes, birthdays, anniversaries, any type of holiday. And so right now we're getting ready for Valentine's Day. That's going to be our big holiday, which will actually feature, you can get your honey, 6 ruby red velvet miniature pound cakes with a nice bow and a card on it, and we'll just ship it right to your door to whomever.
Oh, wow, what a great concept. Instead of just trying to focus on opening a retail outlet, you decided to do this online. What made you select that as opposed to the retail?
Well, I guess with retail, I've been there and done that, and I know it's a lot of overhead in retail. And I know right now the trend is an online business where people want to order product, get it shipped to their door, to their office, and it's nice and simple. It's a nice, clean way to do business and to keep your overhead down. You don't have the expenses of, you know, waiting for people to come in your retail shop to purchase this and purchase that. I mean, your expenses are so much lower. So what you have to do then is just focus on marketing and advertising.
Right, right, because you got to have the budget. You got to make sure you allocate funds for that. That's true. That's true. So you can control that cost more, and also
exactly.
I guess you can make a better price point for your customer if you don't have that extra overhead like that.
Exactly, and then you can reach more people. You know, that's the name of the game. You want to reach more people. And you want to be able to, you know, let's say if someone is having a wedding shower, you want to be able to ship 50 or 100 or 200 cakes to a customer in another city versus if you're just in a retail shop here, then you can only appeal to Atlanta or either Cleveland, Ohio. And what's good about our product is, we can ship everywhere. We color code all of our cakes, which actually means if you have an event and you're a Delta or whatever sorority or you're getting married and your colors are pink, orange, yellow, whatever, we can put frosting to kind of emulate the colors that you're going to have in your wedding. So everything is specialized.
Okay, okay.
And that's what we feature, specialization, custom cakes.
Okay, okay, okay. Specialization and customization for the cake. And I see here these pretzels and brownies that you do as well. So anybody need to say a special thank you, they can send thank you gifts. send this. Go to the website and you can do that as well. Now, you mentioned Valentine's Day. Are you all offering any specials, any special promotions coming up around that time?
We'll be offering where you can purchase 6 ruby red velvet pound cakes and you'll receive 1 free all the way up until February the 12th.
Okay, 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 all right.
So anyone can just email me or give me a call.
Okay.
Munchadoodle.com, MunchaDoodle.com.
Okay.
And I can talk to you about whatever your special needs are.
And you want to give your number as well? You want to do that as well?
Area code 216-952-7426.
Okay, say that again. Give it
216-952-7426.
All right, and that's munchadoodle.com. So
munchadoodle.com.
This time has gone by so fast, you know. As we think about some of the things that we've talked about today, and we've got, like I mentioned, our audience all over the world, all types of business owners, people who've been in business for years, who may just be starting a business. What 3 things would you leave with them today? Michelle, what would you like to leave them with?
I would like to say that the most important thing is this. Find something that you love to do. Do it well. Figure out how you can help someone else. And what you have to think about is longevity of your business. So you want to think about the next 10, 15 years. You don't want to think short term. And that's very important in creating a business. You don't want a business that's going to expire in 2 years because you haven't thought it through.
Right. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because one of the top women that we've interviewed, I mean, this sister is fierce, Catherine Freeland. She's in our book, Wealthy Sisters. You can find that on our website, and it's available on Amazon as an ebook as well. But she built her business and she sold it for like $30 million here in D.C. And she talked about her exit strategy. She started the business with an exit strategy
in mind.
You know, and a lot of times when we start a business, we don't necessarily have that exit strategy. So I'm glad you brought that up. You know, that's so important about where is this business going to go? Are we going to leave it to our children or do we want to sell it or what? You know, so
exactly.
That's important. Look 5, 10 years because it can fail if we haven't looked far enough down the road.
Right,
really
exactly. You get so excited you can't see past, you know, 2 years.
And that's good. And one final point. What else would you leave with our audience today?
Patience. Have patience.
Wow.
Patience is the key.
Because
you're not going to become a millionaire overnight. It's not going to happen probably within your first year of business because you're in a learning process, a learning stage.
Right.
But just stay focused and have patience.
Wow.
You know, if you develop patience, you can run this race. If you don't, you can fail. Everything is a process. And don't forget to get your board of directors to surround you, to help you to make the right decisions about your business.
Wow. You said it. You said it. That patience. You know, what would you, what give them some type of idea of how they can actually develop or a scenario of because when we say patience, that's a frightening word, and I know people shut down when you hear that word, because like you said, we want it now. That's just the society
that
we're
in. But we're
in
that type of society where it's an instant gratification. But that's not really how life works. You know, it's just like when you get married. Well, for most people who are reasonable people, you didn't just get married all of a sudden. You know, you try to develop the relationship. You know, check mm-hmm. things out, see how he is, his family, on and
mm-hmm.
on and on.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that takes
mm-hmm.
patience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with business, you have to apply the same. It's the same roadmap. You just basically seek out the good and the bad in a business
mm-hmm.
and realize that you're going to run into a lot of roadblocks, but how are you
mm-hmm.
going to navigate through them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And read.
Mm-hmm.
Read and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to need both of them.
Right. Right.
And if you go into a business realizing that it's going to take time, then you won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
people get disappointed when things don't work out quickly.
Right.
But it's never going to work out quickly.
Right.
It just takes time.
Unless
like
you hit the lottery.
Relationship
right.
with
right.
your fiance, with your girlfriends,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with new business partners. It doesn't happen automatic. That's
mm-hmm.
not an instant part of life. Now, you can get a munch of doodle, and that would be instant. But not relationships and not businesses.
Right.
You see? That immediate gratification.
Right.
It doesn't work with businesses, unfortunately. I wish it did, but it
right.
doesn't.
It just doesn't. Well, you said it. You know, have that patience. Know about building, that it's all about building those relationships there as well, you know, understanding that it's a process we talked about today, you know, making sure you get that board of directors. Boy,
that's
we've
right.
got some key pointers here
board
today.
Board of directors.
Yes, and do something that you love and do something that you enjoy. Why is that important for someone to do? What they love? Yeah. Why is that important?
Because you won't have an interest in it eventually.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times
mm-hmm.
people are not fulfilled because every day they got to get up and do things that they don't love to do.
That's a miserable life. Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, you're not put on this earth to just make money and do things that really don't satisfy you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's not fulfilling God's will.
Mm-hmm.
God's will
mm-hmm.
is that you do what you love to do, and by the grace of God, you're able to make money from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people can get caught up in, I want to make the money, so I'll do whatever I have to do, and
mm-hmm.
then they have this miserable life
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they didn't follow God's plan. They didn't seek mm-hmm. out what they really wanted for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They just chase the money, chase the dollar,
follow right.
the money. Everyone has heard that, follow the money.
Right.
Well, if you follow right. the money, you just may not be successful long term.
Right, exactly.
You can make the money in a new business following the money for 2 years and
right.
be miserable.
Right, wow.
And then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, I have so much unfulfillment in my heart, in my mind. I just want to do something that I love to do. That's what you hear people say all the time, because everybody
yes.
is seeking happiness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what we
mm-hmm.
live for. We want to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
whatever you put your heart and soul into, you need to be able to love it so that you can do it well and teach other people how to do what you do.
Go ahead. Well, like I said, I told you she knew what she was talking about. This is Nichelle Tidmore Fleming.
She's the CEO
of MunchaDoodle.com. Give your phone number one more time.
216-952-7426, MunchaDoodle.com. And I look forward
That's
to
right.
talking to everyone.
That's right. And go to Facebook. She's on Facebook. You all are there. Get her some likes. Go like her page. Are you on Twitter
please.
As well?
Yes.
Yes. Tell them your Twitter and Facebook right quick.
My Facebook account is actually munchadoodle.com, and then it's
okay.
munchadoodle at Twitter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, so we got to get them up. Spread the word about the munchadoodle. It's one of the
Please
best
do
kept
Thank
secrets
you, everyone.
Out there.
I appreciate your business.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, I tell you, this has been another great show. We want you to stay tuned for next week. We, as promised, this year is an explosive year for Wealthy Sisters, and you are the reason because of that. And you know what? We're going to do every week. We're going to bring you the best. And speaking of that, next week, our very special guest is none other than entrepreneur, actress, Miss Nicole Ari Parker. Yes, you all remember her? Oh, yeah, the one that's from Soul Food. She's been in all types of movies and married to Mr. Boris Kodjo. Yeah, that's right. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, she's going to be live here next week. She's excited about coming on with us at Wealthy Sisters. She has a new product out called Save Your Dew, girlfriends, sisters who don't want to go to the gym to work out because we're afraid about messing up our hair. We have no excuse because of this product. So, yeah, she's going to be live with us next week. So Facebook tweet, tell everybody to tune in to Wealthy Sisters. And if you just joined us, thank you again for coming on board with us today. You can catch this show and all of our other shows immediately following right here. It's available for download free for you. You can't beat that. And you can also find us on iTunes and Twitter and Wealthy Sisters at Wealthy Sisters there on Facebook as well. So as always, we love you, we thank you, and we wish you and yours the best of everything great. Continue to have an awesome day, and we will see you next week. We're signing out.
This has been another episode of Wealthy Sisters Radio. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for another positively impacting show next week. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Wealthy Sisters and on the web at WealthySistersRadio.com. The opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of our host, staff, or partners of Wealthy Sisters Radio.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.